Will you pray with me, please? Oh, loving God, thank you for all the blessings, all the ways that you fill us with your Spirit. Thank you for the music this morning and the bonus music this morning. And we feel your presence here with us today. Amen. So this is quite a scripture. I don't know if anybody else felt a little awkward at like the sinner language when I read this scripture in preparation for giving the sermon. I thought, oh, I worry about those who have heard this scripture and have been wounded by it at other times in their lives. So I want to push you a little bit on it to maybe think about this scripture in different ways. One of the things that strikes me about it that's so radical is just that what Jesus was constantly being called out for, welcoming sinners, eating with them, that was incredibly transgressive. That was something that was beyond what most people could imagine. But also, this language of sin is complicated. I think in many ways, what gets called sin is also just what puts people outside of the community. So the ways that we rejoice when one of us has been sent away from the community, has been told maybe that we don't belong in church, and then is brought back into the fold, what an amazing way to rejoice. To have your family of faith surround you, or to create a new family of faith, as we've done here with MCC. We've got a little video that I want to show you. It's in Thai, so I'm going to actually read the subtitles because I want to make sure that everyone is able to know what's going on. I could pretend there were no subtitles and I was translating on the spot, but I'm not. Okay, so come out here, thief. Let me see, what did you steal? What are you going to do with this? Answer me. Give it to my mom. Wait a second. Is your mom sick? And don't do it again. Sweetie, veggie soup. Thirty years later. Here you go. Okay, next order. Summary of medical expenses. $792,000. Urgent for sale. Summary of medical expenses. $0. All expenses paid 30 years ago. With 3 packs of painkillers. Bag of veggie soup. Best regards. giving is the best communication. Sorry, I should have given you a tissue warning ahead of time. So I wanted to show you this video because it shows the idea of the outcast, the sinner, in a very different way. A child who is so poor that he can't afford medication, or a family that can't afford medication and he's stealing it for his mother. And instead of it being a message of repent and you're a sinner and you're bad, the shepherd was the storekeeper who gave the soup with no expectation of anything in return. And obviously from the film, the little boy goes on and becomes a doctor and is able to provide for this man later in life. And I found it just to be so beautiful and so moving when I think about all the ways that disenfranchised people of any type, especially people who live in extreme poverty, are kicked out of our culture, are just thrown off to the side, and nobody seems to care. And so when I hear this scripture, and I know that so often it's, you know, repent, repent, you're all sinners, what I'm hearing instead is those of you who have been thrown out, and yeah, sometimes it could be because someone did something horrible, but also often it's because somebody believes that you are horrible. And there's a distinction there. I know this is a painful topic, but how many people here, if you're comfortable, I'm not going to say have shoplifted, how many people here, if you're comfortable, would raise your hand that you have been thrown out of a faith community or told that you're a sinner? That's a large number of people in this room, myself included. And what did that do to you? Anyone? It hurt? Created anger? For all the people who raised their hand in this room, there are thousands of us in Tampa who are not in these seats because when we were thrown out of our faith communities and told that we were sinners, never looked back. I'm sure that those of you who went out last night for dinner or to the bar were with your friends and you said, oh, I gotta go home, I'm gonna go to church in the morning. There are probably people who said, oh, why do you do that? That's so ridiculous. Yeah? Has anyone heard that? It's always a little awkward for me when I'm sitting on an airplane and the person sitting next to me says, so what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a minister. We kind of mumble it and hope they think I said social worker or something. And because the number of assumptions that get placed on me is kind of unreal. Assumptions that I might, with someone, share a common hatred of others because I'm a Christian. And that is not what the message is about. I feel so moved by this idea that Christianity in our culture represents hating other people rather than loving other people, that I went to seminary. And I believe so deeply in justice that I feel called to be up here, but you don't have to be standing up here to stand with me in that sense, because I think that all of us in some ways, and especially those of us who identify as LGBT, do get discriminated against in our community for being church folk, whether you're Christian or not. The fact that you're here, people are going to think you're weird. And what can you do with that? You can love them. You can try to change their minds if you want. You don't have to. When Jesus was confronted about eating with sinners, what did Jesus do? Anyone? Continue to do it. Exactly. And as we get called sinners, and we always will, and there will always be people with, you know, signs at pride that tell us we're going to hell, people who understand the words of Christ as words of exclusion. Those people are not going to go away. But we can continue to be who we are. And that is so much power. That is so much of a blessing. There are people all over this country, all over this world, who do not feel safe to come into a church like this. They don't feel safe in their hearts. They're so scared that to be in a place where they are accepted, to be brought back and celebrated as that one lost sheep that has wandered astray, that will be the end of them. People in churches where they hear from the pulpit every Sunday that there's something inherently wrong with them, they're out there, and there are lost sheep. They break my heart every time someone new comes in to this church, and so many of us have this experience, and I know I've talked about it before, of my first couple of months coming here, where I would sneak in and sit in the back, and like, we're on to you, by the way, those of you who do that, and kind of hide out, because I was so scared of being rejected, so scared that somebody might look at me and somehow, after being told I didn't belong somewhere else, to come here to the one place that I always had heard of but had never been to, and the idea that I might get rejected here too was horrifying. But instead, do you know what happened? Did you maybe experience it yourselves in your own journeys? I was celebrated here. I see people nodding their heads. The celebration, the beautiful, joyful experience of looking at someone else and saying, oh, wow, I've been told that too. Let's come together as community. How amazing is that? How amazing is it that this community blessed me, that sent me off to do human rights work in Eastern Europe, prayed for me, journeyed with me through my years in seminary, and that this community is ordaining me? Because I'll tell you, like, I was definitely one of those lost sheep. There was a time in my life when I thought I would never darken the doorstep of a church. The idea of church terrified me. Anyone else? Am I alone in this? No? So my question is, what is the sinner? I'm not saying that everything is permissible. Obviously, that's not the case. But I'm asking you to question the idea of who is the bad person, who is the scapegoat in our culture. Is it the gay person? Is it the person who has committed crimes? And are they still human? You know, the answer to the gay question is easy in this space. But who else do we welcome? Who else do we bring in here? Those who maybe show up and smell bad because they don't have a place to shower. Those who come here not really knowing what they want, but are socially awkward, and you kind of see them coming and you're like, oh, hi, gotta hug this person over here. Do we welcome those people? Because guess what? We've all been socially awkward. Like, we were all 13 at some time. And some people, you know, are stuck in that place. So I think our call as Christians and our call as members, as congregants, as people who come to this space for our spiritual renewal and spiritual rebirth every week, our call is an easy one. But it's the thing that everyone was so mad at Jesus about. It's to reach out and love even those who someone else says are unlovable. So as you go out into the rest of your day today and into your week, my prayer for you is that in those moments where you worry that you're the unlovable one, when the voice of the pastor who said you were bad, when the family member who hasn't spoken to you in 20 years, when those memories come up, think about your experience as that one sheep that was lost and how excited and joyful and powerful it was to celebrate you, each one of you, coming home and being found. Loving God, thank you for this worship space. Thank you for this community. God, I even thank you for the heartbreak that this family has been through. All the members here who have, members of this family who have been wounded before coming here. God, I ask for blessings on that pain and celebration of their acceptance. Amen.